Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Savior Jesus Christ, who was the ultimate sacrifice for us. His death brings us life, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from Romans chapter 12. We'll read verses 1 through 8. The Apostle Paul here is writing by inspiration from God, and he says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your appropriate worship. Also, do not continue to conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, so that you test and approve what is the will of God, what is good, pleasing, and perfect. So by the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought, but to think in a way that results in sound judgment, as God distributed a measure of faith to each of you. For we have many members in one body, and not all the members have the same function. In the same way, though we are many, we are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. We have different gifts according to the grace God has given us. If the gift is prophecy, do it in complete agreement with the faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encouraging, then encourage. If it is contributing, be generous. If it is leadership, be diligent. If it is showing mercy, do it cheerfully." These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. If you are around my age or possibly older, you probably remember the movie coming out in the mid-80s called Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. Now, I was 6 years old when this movie came out in 1984, so I definitely was not allowed to see it when it came out in the theater. But I do remember going to school during that time and having the upper graders — we had a school very similar to ours — having the upper graders talking about this movie constantly, in particular talking about one very violent and gross scene. If you've seen the movie, you probably know which scene I'm talking about. I won't go into too much detail, but it involved a cult high priest pulling someone's heart right out of their chest while they were still alive, and then them getting, while they're still living, lowered into the lava pit and dying as a sacrifice. It's a scene that you don't easily forget, especially if you saw that movie when you were a child. And coincidentally, that scene and that movie in particular was so violent and gory that it brought about a change in the rating system. They began to call movies PG-13 as opposed to just PG if they were too violent and too grotesque. So when you heard me read the words of verse 1 from Paul's words to Romans today, when you heard him say, "Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice," is that the image that popped into your head? If you're a child of the 80s, maybe it did. Is that what Paul is talking about here? Some sort of ritualistic sacrificing of ourselves to God that God is demanding of us? Well, it obviously does not have anything to do with some terrifying human sacrifice, but it does involve living, and it does involve a sacrifice. Let's listen again to the words of verse 1, the full verse. Paul says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your appropriate worship." What Paul is speaking about is living our lives, using the body, the life, that God has given you in service to Him and for His glory. Paul not only tells us that this is pleasing to God, but he also says something that might be a little bit surprising. He says this is appropriate worship. That means that our worship of God isn't just singing and preaching and reading from the scriptures or praying in church on Sundays, but actually takes place throughout the week. We can, in fact, worship God by doing things and saying things that are pleasing to Him. We worship God when we do things like our job to the best of our ability and bring Him glory. When we love our spouse and family. when we care for those in need, and yes, when we sing songs of praise to God. Our entire lives can be filled with worship to God when what we say and do is done from a heart of faith and love toward Him. It is also a sacrifice because it does involve giving up something. It is an offering of something to our Savior in thankfulness to what He has done for us. We offer up our lives in thankfulness, knowing that we cannot in any way, shape, or form fully repay Him for taking our sin and our guilt upon Himself on that cross. But what better way can we thank Him than by giving our whole life as an offering to Him? Now, how is that done? In what ways can we be living sacrifices to God? Well, Paul does not go into a how-to or a 12-step program into how to be a living sacrifice for God, but he does explain in our text some of the ways in which we can live our lives as a sacrifice, live our lives in worship to our Savior. It starts in verse 2 with being transformed and being renewed in our hearts and minds from worldly thinking, selfish thinking, to thinking and living in God-pleasing ways. Listen again to verse 2 of our text. Also, do not continue to conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, so that you test and approve what is the will of God, what is good, pleasing, and perfect. The good news that I have to tell you this morning is that we cannot perform this transformation on our own. Notice Paul uses a passive here. He says, be transformed. But God can. And God actually has in you and me. He performed an incredible miracle in each one of us. The greatest miracle took place inside your heart when He converted you, when He brought you to faith, a living, breathing, active faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, through the message of the gospel. A new life was created inside you, the scriptures say. A new life inside your heart and mind, or as Ephesians puts it, a new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, while we know that we have been transformed into children of God by the blood of His Son, Jesus, and while we have this new self living inside of us, we also know that from now until the day we reach heaven, we still have that sinful self living inside us as well. That sinful flesh still clinging to us, still fighting with us. And as long as we are alive on this earth, there's a strong urge inside of us to do exactly the opposite of what Paul says. To be conformed to this world. To listen to self, not deny self, as Jesus said in our gospel reading for today. Therefore, we are in constant need of being transformed, that is, being spiritually renewed and refreshed every day. Again, how is that done? Well, the cleansing and renewing of our hearts and our minds is found in the confession and forgiveness of our sins, which we receive, of course, through Christ's shed blood, which is announced to us, which is given and reminded, given to us as a reminder each and every time you come here for worship. Think of the words of the offertory that we sing every Sunday after the sermon, words that King David wrote after he confessed his great sin to God and received God's forgiveness. Words from Psalm 51, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." King David was the man who was inspired to write that psalm, and he knew where to turn for a new heart, for a renewed, willing spirit. And he knew it wasn't to turn more inward, to turn within himself to get that ability, or even to turn to others. He turned to God. He turned to his Savior to have the joy of his salvation restored, because David knew, and you and I know, that God is the heart changer. He is the life transformer, and He has given you and I the ability to tap into that transforming power at any time through His Word. He's given us that incredible gift of His Word to tap into that transforming power which points our hearts and our minds away from ourselves and to Jesus. Very simply, Jesus is the key to that transformation. It's not found in some law-based, step-by-step, how-to program, but rather in the gospel of Jesus, the good news of His life, death, and resurrection for you and me. That's why we have verses like the one found in Hebrews chapter 12, where the writer of Hebrews points us to Jesus. He says, "Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Look to Jesus. Look to the one who is the author, the creator of your faith. He's also the one who will perfect it or finish it on the last day when we shall be like Him perfectly. Look to the one who endured the cross for you, so that you might enjoy the glories of heaven with Him. Look to Jesus, the one who now sits on God's throne and holds you safely in His powerful, loving hands and carries you through this life. Look to Jesus and see His great love for you. There in His love you will find heart-transforming and life-transforming power. Jesus' love then inspires us to put that transforming power of God into practice in our lives. Paul writes about some of those ways in the last verses of our text. First of all, look at verse 3. He reminds us that being a transformed living sacrifice means living humbly. Verse 3, he says, "So by the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought, but think in a way that results in sound judgment, as God distributed a measure of faith to each of you." It also means to humbly use the gifts that God has given to you for His service and also for the service of others. Paul reminds us in verses 5 through 8 of our text, "In the same way, though we are many, we are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. We have different gifts according to the grace God has given us. If the gift is prophecy, do it in complete agreement with the faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encouraging, then encourage. If it is contributing, be generous. If it is leadership, be diligent. If it is showing mercy, do it cheerfully." What gifts has God given to you? Oftentimes when we think of spiritual gifts or gifts in the Bible, we think of the miraculous ones, right? But when you look at this list, almost all the ones listed here are not ones we would consider to be miraculous, not in a going beyond the realm of nature type of sense, right? But these gifts that are listed are incredibly important, in fact essential, when it comes to building up the body of Christ, Jesus' church. The gifts Paul lists: serving, teaching, encouraging, contributing, leadership, and showing mercy. We wouldn't consider those to be miraculous gifts, right? They are gifts from the Holy Spirit, but that not miraculous. Even the gift of prophecy listed in its base meaning refers to speaking God's word. And so Paul says, if you have that gift of prophecy, if you are speaking God's word, he says, do it in complete agreement with the faith. In other words, in the agreement with the rest of what God's Word, the Bible, says, because that is what we base our faith upon. These are the gifts that God has given us, and He's worked in many of you who are here today. God wants us to use them, not just for your own good or for your own sake, but for the good of others, for the good of the body of Christ. As Paul reminds us, we are all members of one body. So they're to be used for the good of others, but also for God's glory and as an act of worship to Him. As living sacrifices, transformed and renewed by our Savior Himself, may we all daily humbly offer our lives in thankfulness to Jesus, as we will sing in the next hymn. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my will and make it Thine, it shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is Thine own, it shall be Thy royal throne. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.